Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
I hope you had a Merry Christmas, even if this Christmas wasn't what you wanted or hoped it might be. Christians celebrate Nativity to tether us to a tradition that is liberating for us and for the whole world. We surely need liberation. We need to be set free from the traps, the lies, the violence, the oppression of our society. We need saving. Left to our own devices, we might hurt ourselves, hurt others, harm the place that we call home, this earth. Left to our own devices, we might imagine that we're the good guys saving the world, crediting ourselves with some success here and there, berating ourselves for the failed enterprises, and unaware of our own capacity to hurt or harm. But we celebrate that we're not left on our own. Merry Christmas! Our worldview includes the immeasurable love of a nonviolent God, a spirit-filled community of healing and hope, and a new kinship with the world through this one who was born to save us. Merry Christmas. It's so good to see so many of us this first Sunday of 2020, because we're going to need each other to sustain this kind of worldview of Christian love this year. And we have the Spirit's help between us and among us. Let's pray together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This sermon is called Nativity and Epiphany, and it's about how these Christian celebrations can shape our worldview and our way of living in 2020. So Nativity just means birth. So my nativity, I guess, was in St. Paul, Minnesota, 1971. But for us, collectively, the nativity is the story of one poor family and the birth of a child in Bethlehem. And yet, in this nativity of Jesus, we recognize by faith that God was born among us. God was born like us. God was born to love us in an unprecedented way. God was born. God, whose name is mysteriously I Am. God, who always was, who always will be, entered time. Now, our God, the God revealed in Scripture and our faith tradition, has always dabbled in history, but not in such uncertain terms as being born requires. This time, God was born of Mary into the uncertainty of poverty. Or as another gospel writer puts it, the Logos, the divine word and wisdom of the universe, became flesh and lived among us. Merry Christmas. Christmas celebrates Jesus' nativity, and we're not alone. even more ancient than celebrating the nativity of Jesus on December 25 is the church's tradition of celebrating Epiphany, which means manifestation. Epiphany celebrates that God was manifest to the world in Jesus Christ. So traditional Epiphany scriptures include Jesus' birth, of course. That's when God shows up in the flesh. So those stories from Luke and Matthew are often told. And also the baptism stories, especially when John the Baptist points out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is Epiphany. God is manifest and among us. Who else but God could take sin out of circulation? In Jesus, God is on display. Christians in the Eastern churches celebrate Epiphany, including Jesus' first miracle at the wedding party in Cana, as if to say, God is manifest in the world. This changes everything, even water into wine. And of course, Epiphany scriptures include Matthew chapter 2, the Magi's visit to the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. The occupied nation of Israel threatened this child, but the Magi came from other nations to celebrate. One of the Benedictine communities I visited during my last sabbatical sent me their magazine, which included this lighter note about the Magi, or wise ones. Three wise women would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought practical gifts, and there would be peace on earth. We tend to assume that the Magi were men. We tend to assume they were foreigners, non-Israelites. But even if there were women in their party, even if they were diaspora Jews living in the East who knew these prophecies of a new shepherd for Israel, it's the star they followed, and their joy in finding Jesus, Herod notwithstanding, and their generous gifts that make them models for celebrating Epiphany. In the Gospel of Matthew, when God shows up in Jesus Christ, heaven makes a public announcement to all nations with a star. Maybe it was an alignment of planets or a supernova. I don't know. We don't have to agree about that. But the wise ones in every age affirm that this previously uncharted light directs us away from the Herods on our page of history toward a king revealed in the face of a threatened child. The original Magi got there by way of the star and the prophet Micah, who promised, "And you, Bethlehem, little Bethlehem, you're not least. From you shall come a ruler to shepherd my people Israel." Our public embrace of this one who leads us in the divine way of love, peace, and justice is why we get baptized in his name, becoming little Christs, Christians, little lights, as he is light for the world. For the history lovers among us, we have some prophetic background to the Magi story. It's sturdy, poetic words from Isaiah that roots these nativity and epiphany celebrations in a tradition of God's justice and salvation. In Isaiah 60, the sons and daughters of Jerusalem, that holy city, have been violently scattered, and Jerusalem herself plundered. Isaiah was not speaking in generalities. Isaiah was referring to traumatic historical events, the exile to Babylon and siege of Jerusalem. Hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, this societal collapse generated a theological crisis. And anybody who was sort of expecting divine special treatment for being God's pilot project for world salvation was devastated by the exile, both materially and spiritually. So thank God for the prophets and poets who help us see the light in times like these. So the poetry in the latter portion of Isaiah addresses not only one particularly traumatic political and social crisis in history, but crisis seasons throughout history, world wars, civil wars, dictatorships, climate crises, and not only societal crises, but personal faith crises that stem from abuse or brokenness, debilitating disease, layers of grief, exposure to corrupt religions and regimes, personal dead ends. Israel's old worldview was, you know, we're going to kind of be a nation like the other nations, but a little better, a little stronger, because God is on our side. And that was pretty weak theology after the exile. Isaiah believed God's people had been unfaithful and that the nation had been victimized by hostile powers. In that season of crisis, God's prophetic message through Isaiah was assurance that this human family would be reunited. This devastated people would be restored by the same God who judged against them when they were corrupt. The prophet's epiphany is that God comes as fresh light for the nation. God's justice and salvation will come by way of mercy and repair. Isaiah imagines formerly terrifying and terrorizing nations becoming friendly and gift-bearing visitors. According to Isaiah, God's people are not too far gone. They can reflect the glory of God and shine for justice among the nations. So arise, shine, the light and restoring love of God has come. Isaiah 60 is a celebration of God as light for the people who need it most. God is going to show up and love this people back to life. Now, if you're rather private about your faith, then Epiphany is going to be a problem for you, because Epiphany is about God coming as light for the world, and this is a public matter. It's not just Jesus born to Mary and Joseph. The poor shepherds from the mountains and the well-heeled magi show up, and this becomes a public story. It's not Jesus just getting a secret word from God, "You are my beloved." It's a public baptism. There's real splashing in water. It's not just a private rehab for the remnant of God's community, but a public project of justice and salvation for all nations that is dawning. The theological core of Epiphany is that God is on display in Jesus Christ for the world, and this changes the world, like water becoming wine. It includes our public lives, our lives, our deaths, our children, our families, what we do for money, what we do with our money, our political allegiances, how we're going to share our gifts and time, our worship, our prayer, even our stargazing and our travel. Like the Magi, who after seeing Jesus adjust their map and return by another way, so must we all alter our course when we recognize Jesus as the joy we've been waiting for. The good news of Epiphany is that God can be manifest in your life. We can't rise in our own power, let alone shine, but God shines like a new dawn for the people who need it most. As Community Mennonite Church, we are a local epiphany, a manifestation of God in the world. We are the body of Christ, or so we claim when we come to this table. We're not always glorious, let me tell you. But the light for the world that comes from God shines among us and through us. There are still violent and threatening nations, ours being the recent example. There are still poor children who need visitors. Perhaps this year, 2020, you're drawn to this light of Christ in a new way. If the past year has felt lifeless or lonely, join us for worship as we gather around the light of Christ each week. Perhaps in 2020, you're seeking to share the light of Christ with people who need it most. Come, be a part of a community who manifests Jesus as light for the world.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.